Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It's Radical Russ. I'm backstage at the main stage of Seattle Hempfest. It's the 25th anniversary, the silver anniversary of Seattle Hempfest. And joining me here is Granddaddy Mike. He's one of the Seattle Hempfest core staff. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Actually, I have to make a correction there. I'm not on the core staff, but they love me and I love them and they give me a shirt.
Oh, I saw the shirt and I assumed. Yeah. See what happens when you assume?
Yeah, I'm one of the speakers here at the event.
Okay, so you're speaking later on and we've spoken to you before about your exploits, but I'd like to talk about the Seattle Hemp Fest itself. It's such an amazing event. Give us an idea of how difficult this thing is to put on, because I think people think it's just, oh, it's been here forever. It just runs itself.
Oh, you know, this is an amazing event. I consider it one of the pilgrimage events in my cannabis year. So I come here annually. It is amazing that 100,000 volunteers get together and organize over the course of a year an event that they set up in 3 days, that we populate for 3 days, and then they spend 3 days erasing as though it never existed here. And they create a city out of public park land here and have the largest free speech protestival event. And it's absolutely free. Absolutely free. So this is all done by volunteers and by donations. And so, I have to say, you know, if you support the Cannabis Clan having an annual place where we can congregate, definitely come if you can. If you can't come, but your heart is in the right place, go to Seattle Hemp Fest, online and make a donation. Any donation. This is a living organism. This is the Cannabis Clan in an annual reunion. It's an amazing, amazing event.
Yeah, absolutely.
It attracts people from all over the country. There are speakers here from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Right? There are speakers here from Michigan, Florida. And to have one place where people come from all over the country, all in love with Mary Jane, and all here in a supportive, collegial environment in which people are learning, being entertained, and sharing in the cannabis culture.
I love the educational aspect of HempFest, between the speakers, between bands that are giving people important advice, to the Hemposium stage where we've got panels with experts, going more into depth on the subjects. And I noticed in the program a HempFest platform, as if we're like almost, a political party. Give us some of that.
Well, I think in honor of the 25th anniversary, it's a 25-point platform.
Yeah.
So 1 point for every year. And, this platform underscores the fact that, in spite of the definitions of legalization that have gone down, and I don't want to go into the history of it, but, where we are right now is nowhere near victory. This is not the end. This is winning a few battles. This is not the end of the war. I mean, number one on the platform is to deschedule cannabis. So remove cannabis from the Controlled Substances Act completely. And we're not talking about rescheduling. We're talking about descheduling. And, there are many of us all over the country who believe that until the federal government, makes a move to deschedule cannabis, right, we don't have a chance of fully integrating cannabis into our culture and really taking advantage of this, magical, beautiful woman.
There you go.
I just want to skip to a couple of other things in the platform that are important to me. One is the release of all nonviolent cannabis offenders.
Yeah.
It's time. We're not done until everybody who's rotting in a cage as a victim of the incarceration industrial complex, and I say incarceration because I don't mean just the prisons. I mean everybody that participates in, prosecuting and investigating, it's just a true. I want to point out a couple of the things that are highlights to me of how the cannaphobia in our culture is preventing us from moving forward in true cannabis policy reform. Okay, it's a sin. It's truly a sin.
Crime against humanity, crime against nature, absolutely. And this is, like you say, it's more than just an event. It's a pilgrimage. I often say it's the Mecca of marijuana. It's something that you should go to at least once in your life to experience what freedom feels and smells like.
Yes, absolutely. This is, and you know, when we look at the constitutionality of the law in this country, I mean, what we have here is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right?
Yeah.
And that's what's happening here on a moment-to-moment, you know, day-to-day basis for at least the next 3 days.
Yeah. Right? Seattle Hemp Fest is a beautiful thing.
It's amazing.
And it needs your support, because as much as we talk about how great this is, it won't be around if it doesn't get money, it doesn't get support. You can go to hempfest.org. You can go to gofundme.com/keephempfestalive. A couple of ways that you can get money out of Hemp Fest.
Right, and you know, one of the if you don't mind, I'd like to make just a plug for the website lifeforpot.net.
Oh yes.
Okay. Anybody that believes that the cannabis policy reform movement has reached a nadir of success, and that with the election coming up in 2016, you know, the legalization bills that are going to be passed in many states, I believe, across the country. Will relieve us of this situation. But they need to go to lifeforpot.net and look at all the people that are serving, you know, 10 to life with no possibility of parole for cannabis offenses. And some of these people amazingly, you know, have what we call dry charges. There was no pot involved in the
transactions.
Yes, right. And some of them are sucked into conspiracies that are set up by the people that are supposed to be doing the investigation. So, you know, the only thing, and I want to throw out a couple of other ideas. People ask me, well, what do you know will change when legalization happens? And folks, there are predators in this culture, right? In the cannabis culture, some of them wear badges. And one of the things that I know will change when cannabis legalization happens is all of the cops are going to have to buy their own pot. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for people to look at, you know, follow the money. Look at the fact that the largest contributors to the anti-legalization effort in California against Proposition 64 are the Wine and Spirit Distributors Association.
Yeah.
Okay. And Purdue Pharma. Now, I don't know if everybody realizes Purdue Pharma are the people that make OxyContin.
Yep.
All right? So when you stop and trade, look at, you know, follow the money. Look where the money's coming from up against cannabis legalization. And you'll realize how many people are out there, you know, fanning the flames of the cannophobic people that, you know, I call the prohibitches. Okay? So if you're out there and you're bitching about any kind of legalization, then as far as I'm concerned, you're a prohibitch.
We've got 5 states voting on legalization this fall, 4 more voting on various medical. We've got votes going on in Colorado and Oregon at the local level on various initiatives. It almost feels like a tipping point. Do you worry, though, that a pendulum could swing back, that something bad could happen and we could lose the ground that we've made so far?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of us are coming to realize in our individual states that there's a point at which the compromise is made between our ideal model and what we believe the voters will pass.
Yeah.
And when that compromise is made, I believe frequently and unfortunately, the incrementalists, right, who say we have to go in little tiny baby steps to assuage that part of the population that otherwise would be reactive. You know, I say, you know, frankly, I'm impatient. I'm an impatient patient, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at me and you can see. I've been in this industry for 50 years. So I'm impatient for us now to you know, make the leaps that the majority support for legalization warrant, right? Why aren't we making an existential leap here forward?
Yeah.
And saying, you know, how can we have a bill for medical marijuana and not start off with a statement that, you know, marijuana is medicine. Right? How do we do that? That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Right? How can we have a patent on, you know, cannabinoids? and you know, filed in the U.S. government, and have the DEA, a law enforcement agency, making a decision about the medical efficiency of cannabis. Absolutely. I mean, I take some solace. My grandfather used to console me sometimes that, you know, Mike, you have to be patient and realize that half the people out there are below average, right? So you have to realize that there are people that are so afraid, and frequently it's an emotional response, mm-hmm. right? They're afraid of cannabis. It's something that's that they're not used to. It's something they can't control. It's something that, you know, may have its own intent. I mean, I firmly believe that Mary Jane has been using me all of my life. I love her for it. But
that's the old Bill Withers tune, use me.
Yes, right.
Just use
yes,
me up.
Right. And certainly, you know, I've used her and benefited from her all of my life. But, you know, we need to enjoy, we need to have more canna bliss in our lives, right? And we need to stop catering to the prohibitions. There's a point at which we just need to say, you know, it's an attitude. It's an emotional response. We can't rationally debate them out of their position because
right.
it has nothing to do with knowledge. It has
they didn't get to that position rationally in the first place.
Correct. and so they're not going to get out of it in a rational maneuver. So at some point, we need to just say, okay, folks, well, you know, just like not everybody wants to be vegetarian or vegan, even though we know it might be better for us, right? Well, there's a point at which we just need to tolerate the prohibitions.
Oh, Granddaddy Mike, longtime activist, working hard. It's the 25th Seattle Hemp Fest. Anything else you want to leave our listeners with?
I just want to speak out again for jury nullification.
Yes.
You know, if you want to make a difference in the world, right, if you're sitting there at home saying, geez, you know, there's so many people out there that do so much. What could I do every day? How about this? Set an alarm on your phone for 4:20 in the afternoon, okay? And join me and the rest of the Cannabis Clan. We occupy 4:20 every day. So at 4:20, we all take a break and we all medicate and we all do something for cannabis because we recognize that cannabis does so much for us. And sometimes we write letters in support of incarcerated people. Sometimes just letters giving them hope and giving them some knowledge of indication of where we are in the cannabis world and that we haven't forgotten them. Sometimes we write letters to elected officials on behalf of prisoners, right? Sometimes we show up and represent at city council meetings and board of supervisors meetings and county commissioners meetings. And if you really want to change things, folks, you need to not only find a candidate that you can support and get out there and support them with your time, volunteer, support them with your money. But, you know, you also need to think about the people that support you. Maybe you are a potential candidate. You need to get elected, right? You need to organize your peers to have a representative of your opinions in the bodies that are determining the laws that are going to limit your access to cannabis if you don't, right? So, you know, as gently as I can say this, the power that you have means nothing as potential power. It has to be kinetic power, right? You have to use the power or it does not do any good. So take the power that you have, harness the power you have, and every day at 4:20, commune with everybody else that's in the cannabis community and do something for cannabis.
That's right. Act is the first part of activism. You got to do it. Thanks, Granddaddy Mike, for talking to us. And
Russ, it's a pleasure once again.
Yeah.
And you know, if anybody out there ever has a chance, come to HempFest.
Yes.
And if you can't come or aren't here and you're sitting at home and you're enjoying this and you're wishing you were here, throw down some money so that you're sure that we have this event again next year and the year after that so that you can come.
Right on. All right, we're going to go enjoy some more Seattle HempFest, this weed ain't going to smoke itself.